You're listening to Rewind, a podcast from the Gathering Community Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your host, Tabby Horn, and we're going to dive deeper into this last week's message. So grab your tea or, if you must, your coffee, and let's get started. Welcome to Rewind. I'm so glad you're with us today. At the Gathering in the month of January, we've been spending intentional time talking about prayer and fasting. And actually, not just talking about it, we're in a season of 21 days of fasting. And we do this every year at the beginning of the year because we just want to align ourselves with God. We want to make sure the most important thing is the first thing in our lives as we step into 2025. A couple of weeks ago, we started a sermon series called Unlocking Heaven. And this series is all about prayer. And what we have said is prayer on earth moves heaven above. In other words, prayer is really powerful. Like, it's a tool that we should use in our lives. Another way of thinking of it could be like prayer is what unlocks heaven and as a result changes earth. And so as we've talked about what it means to value prayer, we've talked about the fact that prayer has a price. Prayer's not always convenient. In fact, it's probably rarely convenient. Prayer is not always comfortable. In fact, it's probably rarely comfortable. So we've said prayer has a price, but we've also said that prayer has a place. And in Scripture, we see these places called altars. This last week, we talked about what it means to start building altars in our own lives. And no, you don't have to stop and go to Home Depot right now. You don't have to find acacia wood like they did in Scripture. We're talking about a metaphorical altar, really just a place that you connect with God. And we said this past Sunday that the first altar that every follower of Jesus must have in their life is a personal altar, a place where your relationship with God grows and thrives, a place where you communicate with him, where you connect with him, a place where you listen to him and let him tell you who you are. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Where are you most yourself? Like, where's the most comfortable place for you? Where do you feel like you can breathe? It's like, for me, that place is my home, my physical home. And I think it just is an indication that I'm getting older and crankier because I love being home. And that's very different than how I was when I was younger. When I was younger, I always wanted to go and like be different places and whatever. And don't get me wrong, I still like to go to coffee or run an errand. Like, that's fine. I love to travel. But my favorite place is home. I think I'm the best version of myself at home. I feel comfortable at home. I wear my sweatpants at home. Home is the place where I feel like I can breathe. And when we're talking about a personal altar, that's really what we're talking about. A place where you feel at home with God. A place where it's just you and him and you can breathe. A place where you're comfortable, where you can connect and be the best version of yourself. The Bible calls this the secret place. The secret place. And it's a secret because it's not seen to everybody else around you. And really, the secret place is a place that deeply forms us spiritually. And so we're formed by that time that we spend in the secret place. Or if we don't spend time in the secret place, we are deformed by the lack of time spent with God. I think a lot of times we value what is seen, like our society values what's seen. You know, we like the picture or the Instagram post or the TikTok. We value the things that are seen. But heaven actually values the secret things, the unseen places. And it's in these unseen places that we find peace and purpose. It's in these unseen places that we find power. It's in these unseen places that we find rest. It's also in these unseen places where we find the spiritual authority that Jesus has given to us. It's in these places where we grow in our intimacy with him, our confidence in him, our reverence for him. And it's in these places where we understand who we are in Christ. And our society, truly, it values what's seen. But heaven actually values the secret. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6 when he's teaching on prayer. And he says, like, when you're praying, don't pray like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the middle of the synagogue. They love to be on the street corners because basically they want to be seen. And then Jesus goes on to say, that's going to be their reward in full. In other words, they're not getting the rewards of the secret place, the rewards of purpose and peace and power, authority, confidence, intimacy. They're not getting that. They're getting the reward of being seen by man. He makes it clear that we're not to pray like the super religious who just want to be seen. But then he kind of swings the pendulum and he goes to the opposite side. And then he says, don't pray like the pagans. In other words, don't pray like the people that don't know God. Because what they try to do is use all of these lofty words and they just babble on and on and on. They're trying to kind of convince God or coerce God. As I looked into this a little bit more, I found out what Jesus is referencing is a form of prayer where people would remind the deities of the good things they had done. Like, hey, you remember how I did this last week? I helped this lady across the street, this little old lady. I deserve something. And Jesus is saying, don't pray like that either, because you're trying to coerce God and you're trying to assert power over God. And you're trying to tell God what you need when your heavenly Father already knows. So don't pray to be seen and don't pray to coerce, but pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It's in Matthew 6. And really, this prayer is about surrender. Because when we come to an altar, that's really what we do. We surrender something. We sacrifice something. As we looked at what this means for us, like today in 2025, we looked at a couple of characteristics of sacrifice in the Old Testament. If you don't know, the Jewish people would sacrifice animals, and they did this on altars, and they did this to atone for their sin. This was in the Old Testament. And so we looked at Leviticus, everybody's favorite book of the Bible, and we looked at three things about the sacrifice. And I'm not going to rehash them, but I'm just going to mention them briefly. If you want more information, you can go to our website and watch the sermon. Shameless plug. But the first thing is this: personal altars remove, because there was a piece of the sacrifice, we see this in Leviticus 4, that had to be removed from the altar. And so personal altars, they remove things like, yes, sin, but they also remove things like distractions, things that just keep us from God. So that's the first component. When we have a personal altar with Jesus, the things that stand in between us get removed. And it's kind of like any relationship. Like, I suppose you don't have to spend time with your spouse, but if you want to have a good marriage, you do. And I suppose you don't have to spend time talking with your spouse or doing kind things for your spouse, but if you want a good marriage, you're probably going to need to do those things. In this same way, if we want a good relationship with God, we're going to need to do things that remove barriers. Things that open up communication, things that help us connect with him. So personal altars remove. And then in Leviticus 6, we see that the priests were actually able to eat some of the food that was offered on the altar. And so the second thing is personal altars share. Like as you become a living sacrifice, your life becomes a service to others. Sacrifice, when we sacrifice things on the altar, we're not only losing something, but something is also being sustained, and your sacrifice becomes others' provision. I know when I planted a church, and before I planted a church, I tried to build a team, because it's like, you know, you can't plant a church on your own. It's hard enough to do it with a team. I'll just say that. Okay. But before I planted a church, it was like I was trying to connect with people and build a team of people that would come and help me. And for a lot of them, it was a sacrifice to step away from what they knew and to come and help me start something brand new and to, you know, go to this place. Like, we didn't have a location. It was like, I want to be in the city, but I don't know where. And they sacrificed to come and help. But you know what it was for me? It was provision. There's probably been a time in your life when someone has sacrificed something and it becomes your provision. So personal altars cause us to share. The priest's provision, the way that the priest survived, was by eating the sacrifices that the people brought. And then lastly, personal altars consume. We see this again in Leviticus 4, where there was a part of the sin offering, a part of the animal. It was all the fatty parts, like the best parts. That part was reserved only for God. It was consumed on the altar. And there is part of your life that is only reserved for God. It's not reserved for your spouse. It's not reserved for your best friend, your parent, your child, your pastor, anything. It's reserved only for God. When we come to the personal altar, it's like we get answers like, what is my purpose? A personal altar is a place to be honest with God, to struggle with God, to argue with him, to confess, to receive, to worship. And this personal altar, it's a place where who you are on earth is connected with the secret heavenly place where you were formed by God. The secret place, or the personal altar, it's a place where we learn what it means to be in relationship with God. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to blow some of your minds, is that in the secret place, the objective is this: enjoy God. Or like, enjoy God, that's weird. I don't even know what that means. Well, I think that's because a lot of times our connection with God is merely transactional. Hey, God, I obeyed you in this one thing. Would you do this one thing for me? Hey, God, can you just help me? Can you? And actually, that's the opposite of how Jesus told us to pray. Remember in Matthew 6, he said, don't pray like the pagans who are just using all of these words trying to get what they want out of God. Because our connection to God is not meant to be a transaction. It's meant to be a relationship. And in a relationship, we have to learn how to enjoy the company of someone else. And so a secret place is a place where you learn what it means to enjoy God. And there's a couple ways that we can do this, because I know this is kind of seeming like, okay, well, this is all very lofty, but what do I actually do? I've got a couple of ideas, and we talked a little bit about a couple of these on Sunday, but I'm going to go a little deeper. The first one is decide when and decide where you're going to have your time with God, your personal altar. And it doesn't have to be anything special. It doesn't have to be fancy. Maybe it's in your office at home. Maybe it's while you're on your treadmill at home or on a walk outside. Maybe it's when you are after you've dropped your kids off at school. Maybe it's when you are taking a shower. Whatever it is, find a place that you can connect with God and then keep that appointment. And if we're going to keep our appointment, it means we have to find a time. So whether you like to take time with God in the morning or afternoon or maybe at night, I would recommend this. Start your day by acknowledging God. You know, just when you wake up, just, hey, God, thank you for this day. And then ask the Lord to align your heart to his. Thank you for this day, God. Would you today align my heart with yours? Align my will with yours. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Something simple like that can be a great way to start a time of prayer. And if you are a person that wants to have that time with God where you just learn what it means to enjoy him in the morning, then great, do it. If you're not, also great, just do it at some time. Find a place, find a time, and keep it. I think a lot of times we don't know exactly what to do once we step into that place. So here are a couple of ideas. The first one is something very simple that I learned many years ago. It's the acronym ACTS. And it's this: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I'll break that down. So adoration, so you start off just by worshiping God. And if you don't know how to do that, put on a worship song or pray the Psalms out loud. Use the words, ancient words that were written, glorifying God. So start off by taking a moment to worship God for who he is. Then take some time to confess. We all have times we need to confess. And I think a lot of times for those of us that are long-term Christians, confession is something that's lost on us. Like we kind of think we've moved past the point of needing to confess. But I think of David in Psalm 139 when he says, "Search me, O God, and know me. Like, see if there's any wicked way inside me and lead me to the path everlasting." This is another great time to pray scripture. And then after you ask God to reveal to you any place where you are not pleasing him, listen to him. The next is Thanksgiving. Thanking God for who he is, thanking him for what he's done. Even in our difficult moments, even in our darkest times, there's still something to be thankful for. I look back at my life and I think of some really difficult periods and I think, yeah, there's a lot about that I would never want to walk through again, but I am thankful because God provided this, or this friend came along and it was just what I needed, or whatever, right? So there's always a way, a reason to be thankful. And then the last one is supplication, which is just a fancy word for asking God for things. So it's appropriate in prayer. We should be asking God. Matthew 7, Jesus himself says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open." So adoration, worshiping God, confession, coming before God and asking him to reveal things to us that are not pleasing to him. Thanksgiving, thanking God for the good things and even the hard things, and supplication, asking God for healing, for restoration, for guidance, for peace, for provision, for hope, whatever it is you may need. So this is a method that you can use as you build a personal altar, as you take time to step into that secret place. Another thing that you can do that's wonderful is to pray scripture, pray the Psalms, pray the Lord's Prayer. As you are reading the Bible and there are prayers throughout the Bible, or there are things in the Bible, promises of God, pray those things out. It's actually good for us to speak that stuff out loud. It's good for us to remind ourselves that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So we will not fear when the earth gives way. It's good for us to say out loud, "If I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then everything else will be added unto me." It's good for us to say out loud, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience his peace." See, when we pray scripture, we get excited. We remember who God is. We remember the promises of God. And it's important for us as his children to know who he is and remember his promises. So this is a great way to begin your time in the secret place. This is a great way to start your personal altar time. Another thing that is good to do is to keep a prayer journal. And some people love to journal. I personally do not love to journal, but I do like to do a prayer journal where I'm writing down prayers I have or people I'm praying for. And then what's really cool about this is that as these prayers get answered and as you see God come through, what you find is that it's a great faith builder in future seasons. So I can go right now and look at my journal from when I was trying to plant a church and all these prayers I had and all these concerns I had and all this fear I had. And it's really cool for me now to look at that and say, "Yeah, that God answered that. God took care of that." I write things in my prayer journal, and then I will also write when those prayers are answered. I'll write down like, "This happened on this date." And it's just a way for me to remember and remind myself what God has done. And so I want to encourage you, one of these methods, there are other methods. These are not the only methods, but I just want to encourage you to take some time this week in your personal altar, in your secret place, and enjoy God. Take some time this week and pray scripture out loud. Take some time this week to find a dedicated place and time for prayer. Take some time this week to start a prayer journal. Or if you have one but you just don't really use it, take some time to actually use it this week. And so as we close, I want to pray, but I actually want to end this in the same way that I ended our sermon on Sunday, because I just felt like it was a great reminder of why we go to the secret place. See, we can try to battle through life on our own. And we can even try to make it through situations, knowing the goodness of God and knowing the word of God and having godly friends, and all those things are wonderful. But there are some things that you're only going to know when you're in the secret place. There is some strength that you're only going to find when you're sitting at his feet. There's some peace that will escape you in every other place and time, except for when you're in the secret. And there is something about that place with just you and God. And I think part of this is because that's where we were formed. From the beginning of our lives, even before our lives began, we were formed in the secret place with God. He intimately knows us. He intimately sees us. Like, he cares more about you than you can even imagine. Scripture says he delights in the details of our lives. He fully and completely loves you. And so there are, we can know that, but like, until we sit in that place where we experience his love, it's just a head knowledge. But when we get in his presence, where the word says there's fullness of joy, we actually experience it. And I want to read this to you, a familiar passage of scripture. If you're not driving, close your eyes. A Psalm of David. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Surely the darkness will hide me, and even light become night around me. But even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are beautiful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. You've listened to Rewind, a podcast from the Gathering Community Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Join us in person on Sundays at 10:30 in the morning, or you can check us out online at thegatheringmn.com. We'll see you next week.